Governor Charlie Baker has been clear that robust contact tracing is critical to any plans for reopening. Massachusetts's program began 1 month ago, and since then, more than 1,200 tracers have been hired, and they've contacted more than 17,000 people. Now, their goal is to reach everyone who tests positive for the coronavirus, make sure they're in isolation, and then track and test all of their close contacts. So, success so far? And what issues does it raise? Joining us now on the line is John Welch. He is the Director of Partnerships and Operations for the Massachusetts COVID Response Project at Partners in Health. John, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much, Tiziana. Thanks for having me.
So Partners in Health is partnering with the Commonwealth on this contact tracing program. I want to start with the very latest numbers. Can you update us on how many people have been contacted as of, you know, like now, and how many contacts they've been in touch with?
Your numbers are pretty accurate. We're making close to 9,000 to 10,000 phone calls per day. Of course, not every single one of those results in a pickup, but the cases that are shared with us by local boards, we're reaching those each day,
While you're thinking there, let me just ask you a quick question, because you used a term. You said not every one of those results in a pickup. I think what that means is not everyone picks up the phone. Is that what it means when you say results in a pickup?
That's right. Yep. We definitely have had better success over the last week or so. But one of the messages that we're trying to really get out there is if you receive a phone call from your local Board of Health or from the Mass COVID team, to go ahead and pick up that call. And we've got important information for you and really are trying to help you during this time.
So, John, I know you start with people who have tested positive for the virus and then reach out to close contacts. Can you define what a close contact is? What does that mean?
Yeah, certainly. So the Massachusetts DPH, as well as the CDC at the moment, are calling close contacts anyone that you've been within 6 feet of for 15 minutes or more.
And do you find people are willing to give you those names?
When we are able to help people understand what those close contacts are, and understand the importance of contact tracing, people are quite willing to cooperate. I think one of the important messages that we're also trying to share is just what an essential activity contact tracing is. To get to the end of an epidemic like this. And so once people understand what the activity is and that their information is safe with us, and that this is an activity that's really been carried out by boards of health for a very, very long time, then they're willing to cooperate and help us help them keep their community and their family safe.
So let's stay on that for just a second, John. Remind our listeners why contact tracing is an important strategy in, you know, avoiding prevention during a pandemic. Avoiding prevention, avoiding the disease or preventing the disease during a pandemic.
Sure. Yeah. Contact tracing has been around a very, very long time and is an essential activity of boards of health and public health officials around the state and around the country. And there are 90 different communicable diseases that contact tracing happens for every single day. During an epidemic, though, it becomes an essential tool, particularly when we're dealing with a virus that doesn't yet have a proven treatment and we haven't yet developed a vaccine. And so really the role of contact tracing is to break the chains of transmission. By that, I mean...
Well, so let me just ask you then, from there, what is the rate of pickup that you've been achieving here in the Commonwealth? What percentage of people that you're calling who are close contacts are picking up the phone, responding, and participating as you would want them to in the next steps, having heard from the Commonwealth?
Well, I'll start by saying that we don't give up easily. Folks are hearing maybe seeing our name on the caller ID, we do call people back pretty quickly, and just sort of leave them a voicemail, say, this is who we are. We just have some important information for you. And then we go ahead and try them back, a little while later. So, you know, of all of our phone calls, you know, we do wind up resulting in a pickup eventually. But if we look at all the phone calls in aggregate, around half of them result in a pickup. But that's, you know, important number to look at is just the volume of phone calls that we make, because we really, really do want to be in touch. And I guess I'll point out there, too, that, you know, if after this round of making phone calls and reaching out by text message isn't successful, we're right back in touch with the local Board of Health of where that individual might be living. And they are serving as our as the local experts in getting in touch with those folks that we might find hard to reach.
So that 50%-ish rate, you said around half, is that enough for the program to be successful? Understanding how core Governor Baker has consistently said contact tracing will be to a sustained reopening strategy that doesn't lead to huge spikes in the virus again. Is that rate going to get it done?
So again, you know, that pickup rate is an aggregate sort of number looking at all the phone calls that we make. And what's great to say is that the cases that we receive, we've been able to make outreach to a large majority of those people. It just takes some effort. You know, one of the contact tracers shared a story that, following this protocol we have in place of making a couple of phone calls and leaving a message, finally on an additional attempt, the person finally answered the phone and said, you know, this must be Sarah, and just explained that, you know, they were otherwise occupied and actually were quite happy to talk. So, you know, that rate is for all of the phone calls that we make, and we were able to say those cases that we receive to make that outreach to, by and large, we're able to reach them. It just takes some effort. And so that's why continuing to share the message of answering the call.
Let's say that contact tracer Sarah gets a hold of me. She calls me because I have tested positive or I have been in close contact with somebody who has tested positive. What information is she offering and what services is she telling me about?
Sure. So, you know, it's important that we sort of differentiate the two activities of case investigation, which is, you know, speaking with an individual who's tested positive, and then the activity of contact tracing. In the first instance, you know, Sarah would be, number one, making sure she's got the right person on the line. We want to be sure that everything is maintaining privacy and security. And so she'll make sure she's got the right person, and then really wants to make sure you're doing okay. You know, this is active outreach, and wants to make sure that if, for example, maybe you're feeling a little worse since your test results came, that you're able to speak with your provider or, you know, other emergency services. So that's important to us as well. And then explaining what isolation for someone who's tested positive for COVID is, and making sure you've got what you need to safely isolate. And, you know, those are
things
like... What
does that mean? Like, is that like grocery? Yeah.
Yeah, great question. Yeah, it's groceries. It's, you know, perhaps your prescription is going to run out sometime during your isolation period. It can be any type of social support. And I'll just say that, you know, it's nice to be in a state like Massachusetts where so many of these services exist, and really the role then of the resource coordination during contact tracing is to make sure that people are connected to those services that already exist. And so then after those activities happen, Sarah would go ahead and start helping you think through who those close contacts have been, and helping you think through even 48 hours before you started to have symptoms, who your close contacts were, trying to draw out
their names. Right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to stop you there for a second. I apologize for interrupting, but I want to make sure we get to this. That marks a shift in the phone call. And I can completely imagine how a person receiving the call with support and services, and here's how we help you isolate. I understand that. I have to imagine that there are trust and privacy issues that come up when it comes to the second half of what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And that's why conversations like this are just so important for folks to understand really what an essential activity contact tracing is. And also as a reassurance that, you know, all of this information is kept secure and private, and that same as any sort of public health official, public health nurse, or health agent, you know, this activity is really an effort to break the chain of transmission by informing a close contact that they're at risk, and that they have the information and the knowledge to try and quarantine and stay away from others, and keep a close eye on symptoms for COVID. It's 2 weeks. And I should point out too that while that the person who is tested positive for COVID is sharing this contact information with us, we never share the identity of that positive case with the contacts. We do encourage.
So if you reach out to people I've been in close contact with after I test positive, you do not tell them in that outreach that I am the person who tested positive and supplied them with the names and contact information?
Correct. Correct. We do encourage that case. You know, if you know these individuals and you feel comfortable, it's worth sharing your news with them if you're comfortable with that. And that's just another mechanism by which people understand, gosh, I'm at risk. And now I have some power and some information to try and break the chain of transmission.
So, John, in our last little bit of time here, as we said at the beginning, this is key to the Massachusetts plan for reopening. So I want to ask you, what's next here in the Commonwealth in terms of contact tracing?
Sure. You know, so the Community Tracing Collaborative will continue to work closely with local boards of health. You know, again, this is an activity that they've provided for a very long time, and will continue to provide after the Community Tracing Collaborative's is no longer. And so we're really here as a backstop, as a way to fill in, to provide this kind of surge capacity, so those local boards can continue their essential activities. And in so doing, we'll be here as long as Governor Baker and Secretary Sutters feels that an initiative like this is needed in the Commonwealth. And be here for the citizens of Massachusetts.
John Welch is the Director of Partnerships and Operations for the Massachusetts COVID Response Project at Partners in Health. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.